After all the rishis and others seated themselves comfortably, the king, humbly standing before them with folded hands, told them of his decision to fast until death.
Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Although the king had already decided to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges, he humbly expressed his decision to elicit the opinions of the great authorities present there. Any decision, however important, should be confirmed by some authority. That makes the matter perfect. This means that the monarchs who ruled the earth in those days were not irresponsible dictators. They scrupulously followed the authoritative decisions of the saints and sages in terms of Vedic injunction. Maharaj Parikshit, as a perfect king, followed the principles by consulting the authorities even up to the last days of his life.
Sukopavishtesh patateshu bhuya kutupanava svachakirshitam yat vigyapayamasa vivikticheta upavishtito gre vigrihitapani. So we'll go on to the next text. Rajo vacha ahovayam danyatama nirpanam mahatmanu grahaniya shila ragyam kulam brahmana pada shochad durad visrishtam bhattagarya karma.
Translation. The fortunate king said, "Indeed, we are the most grateful of all the kings who are trained to get favors from the great souls. Generally, you, sages, consider royalty as refuse to be rejected and left in a distant place." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to religious principles, stool, urine, wash water, etc. must be left at a long distance. Attached bathrooms, urinals, etc. may be very convenient amenities of modern civilization, but they are ordered to be situated at a distance from residential quarters. That very example is cited herein in relation to the kingly order for those who are progressively marching back to Godhead. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that to be in intimate touch with dollars and cents men, or the kingly order, is worse than suicide for one who desires to go back to Godhead. In other words, the transcendentalists do not generally associate with men who are too enamored by the external beauty of God's creation. By advanced knowledge and spiritual realization, the transcendentalist knows that his beautiful material world is nothing but a shadowy reflection of the reality, the kingdom of God. They are not, therefore, very much captivated by royal opulence or anything like that. But in the case of Maharaj Parikshit, the situation was different. Apparently, the king was condemned to death by an inexperienced Brahmin boy, but factually, he was called by the Lord to return to him. Other transcendentalists, the great sages and mystics who assembled together because of Maharaj Parikshit's fasting unto death, were quite anxious to see him, for he was going back to Godhead. Maharaj Parikshit also could understand that the great sages who assembled there were all kind to his forefathers, the Pandavas, because of their devotional service to the Lord. He therefore felt grateful to the sages for being present there at the last stage of his life, and he felt that it was all due to the greatness of his late forefathers or grandfathers. He felt proud, therefore, that he happened to be the descendant of such great devotees. Such pride for the devotees of the Lord is certainly not equal to the puffed-up sense of vanity for material prosperity. The first is reality, whereas the other is false and vain.
Go to the next text. Tatsyaiva me gasya paravaresho vyasakta chitasya griheshva bhikshanam Niveda mulo dvijashapa rupo yatra prasakto bhayam ashu date.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmin's curse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear I will detach myself from the world. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, although born in a family of great devotees, the Pandavas, and although securely trained in transcendental attachment for the association of the Lord, still found the allurement of mundane family life so strong that he had to be detached by a plan of the Lord. Such direct action is taken by the Lord in the case of a special devotee.
Yeah, yasya anugranami harishetta tanamshana. This verse that the Lord says, when I see a devotee becoming again interested in material life, then I take away everything and I force him to become attached to me again. So this happens sometimes. Prabhupada said it happened in his own case, that his business could have been extremely successful, but Krishna didn't want that, so Krishna made it fail and made him basically just take sannyas. He was thinking, first I'll make millions of dollars and then I can serve the mission. But Krishna didn't want that. So Krishna arranged. And then, after he took sannyas, then he got millions of dollars. So, that's the arrangement of Krishna. So if he takes everything away from us, we shouldn't be morose or disappointed. It's actually his mercy when he takes our home and family and wealth and even prestige. That's actually a blessing, because these things they're not helpful. To have these type of material attachments is just like bondage. One becomes bound up by the shackles of material life and he can't get out. How can he go across? They're like unwanted baggage. So, it's a great mercy. Even death is to be considered a great opportunity, a momentous occasion. We generally try to put it out of our mind and we abhor the thought of death, but it really is, it's the greatest opportunity to get out of the material world very quickly and to go back to Godhead. So death is not something that is a terrible thing. And Parikshit Maharaj sees it in the proper way, that just like Dhruva Maharaj saw death he used his foot to step on death's head and then he stepped into the Vaikuntha airplane. This is not just a poetic way of looking at it, but it's actually true. One can use any situation, like a... These two are falling asleep here. It's row. Middle row. Like an expert businessman, when the market is up, then he sells everything. And he makes profit. And when the market is low, then he buys. So either way, he's making money. He's expert. So similarly, a devotee should be so expert that when prosperity is coming, he's got wealth, then he spends it very enthusiastically for spreading Krishna consciousness. And when everything's being taken away, then he accepts it in a very humble way for going back to home, back to Godhead. Here, in the purport, Prabhupada said that Krishna was calling him back. Krishna wanted him to come back to home, back to Godhead. Now one may say, well, why would Krishna want me? I'm just a rotten person. Well, I can't imagine why Krishna would ever want me to come home. In fact, we might even think he'd prefer that I stay in the material world just to keep away from him. But that's the mystery of the Lord's love, just like your parents. Even though we may not be such great people, but our parents love us. Our parents like to have us around, isn't it? Isn't it? Your parents don't like you to have you around? I think they like to see you. Maybe on their terms, but still they're attached. They like to see. So, in the same way as parents like to, they still have affection for their children. Similarly, Krishna has affection for all of his parts and parcels. Yayidam paramam guyam madbhaktesha vidashati. Therefore, he says, anyone who preaches my words of Bhagavad Gita to my parts and parcels is my dear friend, is most intimately united with me. He said, I consider him the best. Therefore, Krishna wants everyone to come back to home, back to Godhead. Just like we here, we like to have more devotees. Sometimes someone may think, well, having more devotees means more trouble, you have to cook more, right? You have to buy more food, cook more, you have to have more facilities. Better just to have an empty temple. We wrote one article called The Empty Temple Theory. It's in one of our Vaishnava Society. It deals with this idea that better just to have an empty temple, no devotees to take care of, because it's easier. Yes, but you, just like a woman when she gets married, she wants children. But if you tell her, oh, you're going to have children, then you have to feed the baby, and you have to rock the baby, clean the baby. And then she says, I know, that's what I want to do. That's what I like. So similarly, the devotees in the proper consciousness, they don't mind taking care of bringing people to Krishna consciousness, preaching. They say, oh, I have to preach so much, all these new people. I've got to explain the philosophy to them. And then, you know, go on Harinam with them and so many things. No, but actually this is enjoyable. Similarly, Krishna enjoys associating with all of his parts and parcels. And the more the merrier, as they say. When we have Harinam, the more people that participate, the more blissful it is.
Can you give some insight as to how it is that a devotee or a pure devotee who remains in the material world to serve Krishna isn't bothered by the difficulties that come with having a material body?
Because he understands that this is part of my labor of love. That's the same point. We were giving the example that when a mother has a baby, now for those who are not connected with that baby, there's many disgusting things to do with the baby. For example, if you're holding the baby and it passes stool, then first of all it's a bad smell, and then you have to clean it. Both these things seem quite disturbing, but for a mother, we read from the scriptures that she sees it as sandalwood pulp. Now it may seem unbelievable to us. How could anyone consider the stool of a little baby to be like sandalwood pulp? But when you love the baby, that's what happens. It becomes, everything becomes very joyful in relationship. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all the obstacles that I experience in the course of my devotional service will be like bliss. It's not like an obstacle, it's rather, it makes it enjoyable. Just like, for example, an athlete, say he's a hurdler, so he's running, and when he sees the hurdles, he doesn't say, oh no, another hurdle. Oh, he enjoys it. Here's a chance to jump over this one very quickly, very expertly. So he sees the obstacles as challenges, transcendental challenges, to make his life more successful. It's even more blissful now. Just like we may think, oh, we wish everyone were devotees, and of course we do. But the fact that it's not so easy to make devotees, it makes it even more enjoyable. Because we go out and we preach, and not so many people take it. So when one does take it, oh, it's like our Rick now, he's coming. And our Nathan. We're very happy because by our preaching efforts, Krishna is reciprocating. So we're very, very pleased that some people are taking to Krishna consciousness. Any other? Let's go on to the next text.
We had more of that purport.
Oh, please read the purport.
Maharaj Parikshit could understand this by the presence of the topmost transcendentalist in the universe. The Lord resides with his devotees, and therefore the presence of the great saints indicated the presence of the Lord. The king therefore welcomed the presence of the great rishis as a mark of favor of the Supreme Lord.
So, we consider that our disciplic succession is so full of saintly persons. They have given such transcendental knowledge in the form of transcendental literatures, commentaries, and they've set the example how to give one's life fully to Krishna. Just look at Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. They were Mandalapatim, Shrenim Sada. They were Tekta Turnamashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sada Tuchva. They gave up. Most aristocratic. That means, what does aristocratic mean? It means money and women. They had all that. Prestige, wealth, women. Education. They had everything. But they gave it all up. And what did they do? They put on loincloth. Kopina. And they simply lived under a different tree every night, and they were chanting and glorifying Krishna and studying books, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipanosad Dharma Samstapako Lokanam Itikaranam Tribhuvanoma Manye Sharanyakaro. This is the mood of the Goswamis. And this should be our mood also, that we give up all these attachments and we get the association of devotees. This is the great thing, that we are, someone may say, but where's Rupa now and Sanatana? We don't have their association. No, we don't, but we have the association of their devotees, the Rupanugas, especially of course Srila Prabhupada's association had such an effect on the world, and it's still having such an effect. Just his of course, before he came to America, he was glorious and his presence was extraordinary. But once he came out, once he left India and went to America, then things really took off. Because that combination of the pure devotee who acted like fire and the dry grass, he came out to the places where people were really dying for transcendental knowledge. Now, someone may say, Prabhupada's gone. Yes, Prabhupada's gone in one sense, but those who are dedicated to him, who simply carry out his instructions, they're also good association. And we like to get their association, because in this way we can Learn how to please Prabhupada. And if we please Prabhupada, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nakati katopi. Then Krishna will be pleased automatically. So we're not bereft, even though we feel sad in the absence of such great personalities. But their mission, Navani, is still there. So we can carry out the order by distributing Bhagavad Gita. Still, every day, we find that so many devotees are attracted to this service of distributing books. Why? Because it's so exciting. Every day you meet someone and they get a book and it changes their whole life. It's exactly what they've been looking for. It saves them from going to hell. Isn't that a wonderful thing? People look for welfare work. They want to... it's like the other day we were seeing some of our neighbors. They have a little garden and they're growing some plants, and they were very delighted about this. They were thinking this is such a nice service. Okay, it's a mode of goodness. At least it shows. But how much greater is this service of giving people, of planting the seed of bhakti in their hearts? That's a real gardening. You may grow a cauliflower, but if you put the bhakti lata bij in someone's heart, then that is the real plant that will take him back to home, back to Godhead. And even someone may say, well, what about when your devotees have your farms, your self-sufficient farm? Isn't that the same? No, it's not the same. Because when they do self-sufficient farming, they're not just trying to teach people about how to grow potatoes, but they're trying to give them love of Krishna. They're taking them back to home, back to Godhead through this method of self-sufficient farming. Because they're teaching them how the farm relates to Krishna, how the cauliflower is coming from Krishna, how the cauliflower should be offered to Krishna, how it should be honored after its prasada, everything. It's all Krishna, Krishna related. Whereas all these other welfare activities, they're Maya related. One is thinking, I have to serve my mankind. But how can you serve mankind? What can you do for mankind? It's like if someone's about to be executed and you give them a pedicure. Huh? You come in. Sir, I've come in. Don't worry, I've come a long way. I've come all 10,000 miles to give you a pedicure before you get executed. Is it a very good service? What do you think, Vibhishan? You think it's good? I don't think it's very good. I think that it's simply a waste of time. He's going to be executed in 2 seconds, and you're, you know, filing his toenails very nicely and giving some. It's a waste of time. Decoration of a dead body. So all the activities in this material world, they're decorating dead bodies. That's all. But the devotees have the knowledge to give them liberation and to take them back to home, back to Godhead, where they can live happily forever. Now someone may say, what's the use in that? They're going to live forever anyway. Let them come to the realization when they feel like it. Why are you so eager to preach? What do you say to that? Anyone have an answer? They'll come anyway in their own time. And they've got eternity, so what's the difference? There's no question of losing time. So just let them come when they feel like it.
Because we're very compassionate toward the fallen conditioned souls.
You're very compassionate?
Well, devotees in general. We are very compassionate.
Yeah, I think Krishna is the one that's compassionate. Krishna is compassionate, and he asks his devotees to help him. So he's the real compassionate one, and we're just executing his mission. So that's why. I mean, we may not feel... Of course, the advanced devotees, as you say, they may be genuinely compassionate. But we may not feel compassion. We may not have such advanced qualities. But still, as assistants, we're carrying out the order of the Lord and his devotees. Did you want to say something? next verse? I'll read the Sanskrit Tamma. Mopayakam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi dhrita cha tam ishe Dvijo pashrishta kuhakas takshakova Dashat valam gayata Vishnu gata.
Translation: O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahman created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Purport: as soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. He thus became absolutely free from all fear of death.
After all, what is death? Death simply means that I take off this dress and I get into a different dress. What is, isn't it? Isn't that what death is? Nothing so extraordinary. If someone says, here, Ramachandra, give me your coat, I'll give you another coat. So, all right, take a different coat. He doesn't mind. It's not a, especially new coat, it's even better. All right, I give up an old, when the body gets old and decrepit and starts falling apart, then the chance to get a new, fresh body is something to be looked forward to. Therefore, what is the fear? Or if someone says, leave this room and go into another room, no one is getting great anxiety about that, because we know that there's another room and I'll still exist in the other room. Similarly, there should be no anxiety about death, because death is simply leaving one room and going into another room.
Actually, there is cause for fear, because for most people, because I mean the kind of situation that they're preparing for themselves is like, what's that? It said about the king, better you live forever, because after you leave your body, you're going to be suffering like a dog when you get the reaction. So better you live forever. And so most people, like here in America, you know, relatively speaking, you know, they think they got it made. And but then when they leave, they're really going to be going through the ringer. So
yes, but that can be changed. In other words, when one has this knowledge, the reason that they're living like that, like trying to enjoy their senses so much, is because they don't understand who they really are, that they're spirit souls, and that their business is to serve Krishna. So, therefore, they're acting in ignorance. When they get knowledge, when they're enlightened, then everything will change and they'll give up. They won't even have any taste. It's like Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't even have any taste anymore for the material side of life. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.